Доброе утро. We're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I was requested to choose some verse, some passage which relates to our theme of Krishna Janmashtami. And so I've chosen a section of chapter 18, Madhya Lila, the chapter is called The Lord's Visit to Sri Vrindavan. And we're going to sort of jump into the middle of this, and then I'll read three or four verses, we'll see, to get to sort of the point. But we start with verse number 97, which is very wonderfully projected here. All right. This is, of course, Chaitanya Charitamrita, written by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who is living in Vrindavan as he is writing, many years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has departed. He was not present when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present, and nor specifically when he was in Vrindavan. But he has heard about Lord Chaitanya's travels. Prabhu aage kahe loka Shri Krishna dekila. Sarasati e bakke satya kahaila. Prabhu aage, in front of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Notice that many times in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is simply referred to as Prabhu. Prabhu. So we address each other as Prabhu. So that's actually a very high honorific, meaning master. Kahe loka. All the people began to say, Shri Krishna dekhila, that they have seen Lord Krishna. Sarasvati, the goddess of learning. Ebakke, this statement. Satya, true. Kahaila, caused the people to speak. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shiva Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, everyone came before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, quote, now we have directly seen Lord Krishna, unquote. Thus, by the mercy of the goddess of learning, they were made to speak the truth. Okay, this is a little out of context, and there's no purport to this verse, but we will continue. First, I'll offer prayers. So, what is happening in this portion of Chaitanya Charitamrita? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has finally, after long effort and so many obstacles, been able to arrive in Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, he is visiting the various places, and he is staying in some of these places, and he is experiencing an intensity of We use the word ecstasy, sometimes we overuse this word, but in the case of Lord Chaitanya, it really applies. He was actually feeling ecstasy, which is referred to as a multiplication of the so-called normal ecstasy that he was feeling. He was always absorbed in the ecstasy of chanting the holy name. On his way to Vrindavan, of course, in the Jarikanda forest, he was experiencing ecstasy of chanting the holy name, so much so that even the wild animals were coming and joining him in chanting the holy name. But now he's arriving in Vrindavan. What does this mean? Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He's none other than Krishna. And because he is Krishna himself, he is experiencing the memories of being in his own abode in Vrindavan, in his eternal pastimes. You could say he's re-entering into his eternal pastimes as Lord Krishna. And so as he is going from place to place, these memories are awakened. For Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is all memory. It's not something he's heard. Like for us, we hear about these pastimes of the Lord. For the Lord, he's remembering his own pastimes. Well, I want to back up a little bit and then move forward to get the whole story. I'm moving to, let's say, verse number 80. Vrindavane asi prabhu basya ekanta nama sankirtana kore madhyana parjanto. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to Vrindavan and sit in a solitary place. It was there that he chanted the holy name until noon. So Lord Chaitanya had a little routine. He had a daily routine of sadhana, even as he was in Vrindavan. In the afternoon, people were able to speak to him. The Lord told everyone of the importance of chanting the holy name. So we can picture Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's in Vrindavan, and what is he doing? He's telling people, chant Hare Krishna. Chant the holy name. During this time, a Vaishnava named Krishnadas came to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a householder belonging to the Kshatriya caste, and his house was located on the other side of the Yamuna. Well, I'll jump over some of this. This is describing how the Lord blesses Krishnadas to also chant the holy name. But I want to get on to another point. Well, the summary of that, verse 88. Prabhu tare kripa koila alingana kori preme matta hoila se nache bale hari. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then bestowed upon Krishnadas his causeless mercy by embracing him. Krishnadas became mad with ecstatic love and began to dance and chant the holy name of Hari. Hari, Hari, Hari. So we can imagine Krishnadas, he's just been embraced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and yeah, what's the result? Now he's overwhelmed. Would you like to be embraced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Yes? No? Yeah. Okay. And then you would, afterwards, you'd be chanting. Okay, so then, Krishnadas returned to Akrura Tirtha with the Lord, and remnants of the Lord's food were given to him. The next morning, Krishnadas went with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan and carried his water pot. Krishnadas thus left his wife, home, and children in order to remain with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Does this mean he permanently left them or just for some days? It doesn't say. So we don't know. Everywhere the Lord went, all the people said, Krishna has again manifest at Vrindavan. Okay. One morning, many people came to Akrura Tirtha. As they came from Vrindavan, they made a tumultuous sound. Akrura Tirtha is on the way between Vrindavan and Mathura, because this is the place that Akrura stopped when he was taking Chaitanya, when he was taking Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. They made a little stopover at the place which on the Yamuna, which later became known as Akrura Tirtha or Akrura Ghat. Prabhu dekhi korila loka charana bandan, Prabhu kahe kaha hoite korila agaman. Upon seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the people offered respects at his lotus feet. The Lord then asked them, where are you all coming from? The people replied, Krishna has again manifest himself on the waters of the Kaliya lake. He dances on the hoods of the serpent Kaliya, and the jewels on those hoods are blazing. Everyone has seen Lord Krishna himself. There is no doubt about it. Hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to laugh. He then said, everything is correct. Shab satya hoy. Some years ago, I was in Vrindavan, staying for a bit longer time. I was doing some research, and the house where I was staying, one repairman came to do some, I don't remember what it was, to make some repair. Shishi Pancha Tattva Ki Jai. And we spoke a little bit. He was a local, Brijbasi, and he looked at me with a slight sort of challenging look. He said, so, you have seen Krishna? And he was implying, or he was saying, I am Brijbasi, I am seeing Krishna, you have seen Krishna? So here these people are saying, we have seen Krishna. And when they tell this to Lord Chaitanya laughs. And he says, yes, that's true. Okay. For three successive nights, people went to Kaliyadaha to see Krishna. And everyone returned saying, now we have seen Krishna himself. And then the verse that we just read before. Everyone came before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, now we have directly seen Lord Krishna. And then the explanation that we get from Krishnadas Kaviraj. Thus, by the mercy of the goddess of learning, they were made to speak the truth. And then he goes on to say, when the people saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they actually saw Krishna. But because they were following their own imperfect knowledge, they accepted the wrong thing as Krishna. At that time, and now the plot thickens, we say in English. Bhattacharya tabe kahe prabhur charane agya deha jai kari Krishna darasane. At that time, Balabhadra Bhattacharya placed a request at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, "Please give me permission to go see Lord Krishna directly." Who is Balabhadra Bhattacharya? Yeah, he's been traveling with Lord Chaitanya all the way from Puri. He's been his personal assistant. He's been going all this. He's been with Lord Chaitanya for several weeks, possibly months. And now he's going to Lord Chaitanya and he's saying, "Dear Lord, I want to go see Krishna directly." Because all the locals have been saying, "Krishna is there. You can see him at night on Kaliya Lake." Purport. The puzzled people who visited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were actually seeing Lord Krishna. But they were mistaken in thinking that Lord Krishna had come to Kaliya Lake. It's called Kaliya Lake. It's actually Yamuna River, but it kind of extends out, or it used to extend out to a larger area. And I don't know, maybe in the drier season it kind of separates and becomes like a lake. So they were mistaken in thinking that Lord Krishna had come to Kaliya Lake. They all said that they had seen Krishna directly performing his pastimes on the hood of the serpent Kaliya, and that the jewels on Kaliya's hoods were blazing brilliantly. Because they were speculating with their imperfect knowledge, they saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an ordinary human being, and a boatman's light in the lake as Krishna. One must see things as they are through the mercy of a spiritual master. Otherwise, if one tries to see Krishna directly, he may mistake an ordinary man for Krishna, or Krishna for an ordinary man. Everyone has to see Krishna according to the verdict, according to the conclusion of Vedic literatures presented by the self-realized spiritual master. A sincere person is able to see Krishna through the transparent via medium of Sri Gurudeva, the spiritual master. Unless one is enlightened by the knowledge given by the spiritual master, he cannot see things as they are, even though he remains constantly with the spiritual master. This incident of Kaliya Daha, Kaliya Lake, is very instructive for those eager to advance in Krishna consciousness. So, Balabhadra Bhattacharya has just asked this, we could say, unfortunate question. We could say that it's very nice that he asked the master, Prabhu or Mahaprabhu, for permission to go and see Krishna. So that's nice. The etiquette is there. But on the other side, as we'll see in the next verse, actually, his idea of going to see Krishna when he's seeing Krishna, namely Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is his foolishness. So the next verse, verse 100, Tabe tane kahe Prabhu chapada mariya murker bakke murka hoila pandita hoya. When Balabhadra Bhattacharya asked to see Krishna at Kaliya Daha, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mercifully slapped him, saying, "You're a learned scholar. But you have become a fool, influenced by the statements of other fools. Traditionally, a bhatta or a bhattacharya is someone who is learned, and Balabhadra is a bhattacharya, and he's a Brahmin. He's supposed to know things as they are. Short purport. Maya is so strong that even a person like Balabhadra Bhattacharya, who was constantly staying with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was influenced by the words of fools. He wanted to see Krishna directly by going to Kaliya Daha, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being the original spiritual master, would not allow his servant to fall into such foolishness. He therefore chastised him, slapping him, just to bring him to a real sense of Krishna consciousness. Interesting case of, we might say, guru-disciple relationship. Balabhadra is not a Diksha disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as far as we know, but he has been serving him as a master. What we might see from this, someone might be shocked. What is this? The guru is slapping the disciple. But we may also see it as a kind of intimacy, as a kind of expression of affection. And there can be an affectionate slap. We don't know how hard he slapped him, but it was, let's say, sufficient enough to wake him up. Or hopefully to wake him up. And then the next verse is kind of, we could say, the key point. Krishna kene darshana dibe kali kale nicha brahme murka loka kore kola hale. Why will Krishna appear in the age of Kali? Foolish people who are mistaken are simply causing agitation and making a tumult. Tumult means a disturbance. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's first statement, Krishna kene, darashana, dibe kali kale, refers to the scriptures. According to scripture, Krishna appears in Dvapara Yuga, but he never appears as himself in Kali Yuga. Rather, he appears in Kali Yuga in a covered form. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32, Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam. Krishna appears in the age of Kali in the garb of a devotee, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who always associates with his internal soldiers. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Advaita Prabhu, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Shivas Prabhu, and Gadadhar Prabhu. Although Balabhadra Bhattacharya was personally serving Lord Krishna in his role as a devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he mistook Lord Krishna for an ordinary man, and an ordinary man, namely the fisherman in the boat, for Lord Krishna, because he did not follow the rules set down by Shastra and Guru. So the key line here is Krishna kene darshan dibe kali kale. It's a rhetorical question. Why will Krishna appear in the age of Kali? He will not appear in the age of Kali. He will not appear as Krishna in any case. So I thought to bring this up because we are anticipating the appearance of Krishna tomorrow at midnight. We all want to have darshan of Krishna, right? Would you all like to have darshan of Krishna? Face to face, yes? Well, I hate to disappoint you, but it's not possible in this age. There are several Shastric references that make this point. In this age of Kali, Krishna does not appear. Okay, he appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Channa Kalo Yadabhavastri Yugotasatvam, the Channa avatar, which doesn't mean Channa Dal avatar, but Channa means covered. So, okay, he's appearing as the devotee, but he is not appearing as Krishna. I'm sorry. So then, what are we all doing? What are we all practicing this Hare Krishna? We joined Hare Krishna because we want to see Krishna, right? Yes? Yeah? Well, you're not going to see him. Sorry. What? I joined the wrong movement.
He appears as deities.
Ah, that's what many will say. He has appeared in the form of the deity. He has appeared in the form of the holy name and so on. Yes, but there's a non-difference and there's a difference. Krishna is present in the deity, yes. And then again, there are so many passages where devotees are saying, yes, but I want to see you face to face. Right? So then, what to do if Krishna is not, if it's not possible to see Krishna face to face in this age, then what should we do? What should anyone do? Shall we go back to material life? Well, it was a nice idea, we're going to see Krishna, but then finally, after so many days or weeks or years, the Swami told us that actually, I'm sorry, you're not going to see Krishna. So then, we just give up, go back home, back to Maya. Instead of going back home, back to Godhead, we'll go back home, back to Maya. Is that what we should do? No. We are saved by Srila Sanatana Goswami, who tells us how we can see Krishna in this age. How we can see Krishna in this age is we can see him in our hearts. And that is described in the Damodarashtaka prayers, which are commented by Sanatana Goswami in the Haribhaktivilasa. And he explains this point in his commentary. So in verses 4 and 5 of the Damodarashtaka, it's explained, Varam deva moksham na mokshavadingva na chanyang rinehang vareshadapiha Idam te vapur nata gopala balam sadame manasya virastam kim anyai. O Lord, this is Satyavrata Muni speaking. He's praying to Lord Damodar, who he has addressed in the very first verse, Namam Ishvaram Sachit Anandarupam. Sachit Anandarupam. He's referring to Damodar as the Lord Ishvara, who is Sachit Ananda Vigraha. And now he's requesting that Lord, Varam Deva, because when you offer prayers, when you approach some superior, it's very much expected that at some point you may be making so many praises to that person, but at some point the question comes, all right, what do you want from me? Right? so much praise, so much flattery is there. That's all very nice, but you must be coming because you want something. You must be at, I know you want something. What do you want? So Satyavrata Muni, in verse 4, he explains what he doesn't want. Varam means a benediction. Varam deva, O Lord, varam deva moksham. Na, I don't want moksha, I don't want liberation. Varam deva moksham na moksha vadingva, moksha avadim. And I don't want the outer limit of moksha, which is Vaikuntha. Na chanyam rine, na cha anyam. And I don't want anything else. What? You must want something. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also prays, nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavitam. What is it? Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavitam. Then? You chant it every morning. What is it? Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye nama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahaituki tvayi. I don't want wealth. I don't want followers. I don't want beautiful women who are described poetically, kavitam, or handsome men. For ladies, then what do you want? Mama janmani, janmanishvare, bhavatad bhakti. I want your bhakti, birth after birth. Is that all? Yes, that's all. Oh, that I'm not giving so easily. I'll give you so many things, but that we have to discuss. So, varam deva moksham na mokshavadingna na chanyang rine hang vare sharapiha idam te vapur vapur nata gopala balam sada me manasi avirastam kim anyai. All I want is that your form, vapu, your body, your form, as gopala, appear in my mind, manasi, which can also mean heart, avastha, may it manifest, may it appear in my heart. May that form appear in my heart. So Sanatana Goswami is saying, this is available for us. The Lord can appear in the heart. And how specifically can he appear? As Gopala. And Gopala, as we all know, is the lord of the go. He is the protector of the cows. And he is described in our bhakti literature in quite some detail to help us to see him in our hearts. So just briefly, of course, as we know, the Lord goes through various ages, his Komara age, his Poganda age, his Kaishora age, and each of these, we are told, have sub-periods. There's Komara Adya, Komara Madhya, Komara Shesha, Poganda Adya, Madhya, Shesha, and Kaishora Adya Madhya Shesha. Each period for a period of some 1 year and 8 months. So in each of these times, the Lord has certain special features. He is eternal and in some sense unchanging, and yet he is manifesting different aspects of himself at different times. So, because we're referring to Gopala, I thought we look briefly at the description of him in his Pauganda age. And as Sanatana Goswami said, we want to envision the Lord in our mind, in our heart. So Pauganda is the time of boyhood, right? It's a very jolly time. The Lord is having a good time. He is smiling. He's laughing. Actually, acharyas tell us that the whole 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the laughter of the Lord. At this time, he ventures, he goes out into the forest with the calves, and he plays. He's always playing, but he especially plays games, and one of the games he likes to play with his friends is wrestling. This is, Srila Prabhupada tells us, a bona fide Vaishnav sport. I don't think it's for ladies so much, but for gents, it's a Vaishnav sport. So, I don't know. You can discuss about doing that here. I don't suggest that you challenge Mahavirya for a wrestling match. That would be a mistake. Anyway, he also dances with his friends. His abdomen is shaped like an ashvata leaf. It's a particular shape of leaf. His throat has three lines like a conch. He has ruby-like lips. Have you all seen rubies, real rubies, before? Never saw a real ruby? Real ruby. Anyone seen a real ruby? Yeah. How do they look, Madhav?
Wonderful.
Just to see. They're very rich red. Okay. So his lips are ruby red. What else? He is fully equipped during the Madhyama period of Pauganda. He's fully equipped with implements and dress of a cowherd. So now he's a full-on cowherd boy. He herds them to distant pastures. He wears a colorful turban. He has a golden rope for tying calves. Why would you tie calves? We don't have any practicing cowherds here, I see. Yes, at some point you may hold the calf. It's you let the calf take milk first. Because if the calf takes too much milk, she'll become sick. So it's actually in the calf's interest to not take too much milk. So then to hold her away from the cow while you milk the cow. Colorful turban. Now is the time when Krishna begins to wear buds of flowers in his hair and also peacock feathers. He has a staff, a stick, which is black with golden cap on the top, with which he also controls the calves. And he plays and he fights with his friends. He has more refined spatial facial features. His skin complexion is cloud blue. And there is excessive sweetness emanating from his form. Excessive sweetness means like too much sweetness. Hard to imagine. Too much sweetness. Then in the Pogunda Shesha period, the locks of hair are dancing playfully on his forehead. His hair reaches down to his hips and it's braided. You know, braid. You know what is braid? Braid is what ladies usually do, folding the hair. Yeah. He has saffron tilak, wide shoulders. His turban is tilted to the side. He has a lotus in his hand, the talk, and he is the talk of the young cowherd girls. They're always talking about Krishna. And that's described in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 21, is it? The song of the flute. Krishna makes discreet comments about his attraction to them, to his cowherd friends. Sometimes he speaks with his cowherd friends about how the young cowherd girls are attracted to him. So that's happening in his Pogunda age. All of this is what Satyavrata Muni is praying to Krishna, to Nata, to Damodar, please appear in my heart in this form. So we get some specifics from the acharyas, from Rupa Goswami and others, what that appearance is. So as we anticipate the appearance of the Lord on Janmashtami, I beg to let you beware to make the mistake of thinking that in this age of Kali you are going to see Krishna face to face. But that is not to say that we cannot have darshan of Krishna. But where will we have darshan of Krishna? In the heart. But how is Krishna going to be visible in the heart unless the heart is pure? Right? So, we have work to do, right? Purification work. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Scrub, 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 scrub. Purifying the heart. The mirror of the heart. The Lord is in the heart and He is our best friend, Surit. He is our well-wishing friend. It is said that a really good friend is like a mirror. A really good friend is like a mirror reflecting, showing us ourselves. We see ourselves in this other person who is our well-wisher. So Krishna is the original well-wisher. And he's there in the heart, and he is our aspiration. Especially, how to say especially, but yes, once a year on Janmashtami, we can especially celebrate that Krishna comes. We're a bit over time, so I guess, no? No. If there's a question or a comment or a suggestion, yes.
I'm wondering, what did people say when they figured that wasn't Krishna on Kali, that was some fisherman with a lamp on his boat?
it's quite possible that Krishna let them go on thinking that they have seen Krishna, because that would encourage them. We don't get any indication from Krishnadas Kaviraj of what happened later. What we do get is, as the pastime continues, is some educated gentlemen, as they're called. They come to Lord Chaitanya and they say, we are blessed because now we are seeing Lord Krishna. And they mean by that they're seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But they also have a misunderstanding. And their misunderstanding is they're thinking because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a sannyasi, and because Mayavadi sannyasi, the understanding is Narayan. When one takes sannyas, one becomes Narayan. And so they're offering respects to him. Narayan, you are Narayan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just kind of says, okay, whatever. Because they're offering him respect. Because this was the reason that he took sannyas. One reason. That he was not getting respected by people in Navadvip. They were blaspheming him because he was preaching the glory of chanting the holy name, and they were disrespecting him. And so he decided, okay, well, if I take sannyas, then at least they'll offer respect to the ashram, sannyas ashram. All right. So it was a kind of ploy. So now, it's some years later, people are coming to him and they're offering him respects because he's a sannyasi. And the point Krishnadas Kaviraj is making is they're also missing the real point. The real point is that, in fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is directly Krishna. They don't get that. So that's all that we hear from Krishnadas. Yeah. Yes.
Maharaj, one question. How in Sri Upanishad it says that the Lord has no wings, but we see but it says that the Lord did Ananda blood, shed blood, and on one occasion shed blood. So connection.
Yes, good point. Veins, no veins.
Yeah.
The form of the Lord is described as Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. He has a form which is eternal, full of Chit, which is consciousness or knowledge, and Ananda, which is joy or bliss. How do you say in Slovenian bliss?
Blaženo.
Yeah. Sounds more blissful than bliss. Blaženo. And vigraha. Vigraha means form. And so that is the understanding from, let's say, the side of what is called tattva, or ontology. It's a fancy English word. What is kind of ultimate reality in a philosophical sense. So from that perspective, that is his form. So no veins. On the other side, there is rasa. And rasa means where we experience relationship. And the Lord appears in a transcendental form, which is Shuddha Sattva, which is not material, and yet it can seem to be material, so that we can have relationship. Because if the Lord would appear as a kind of cyborg robot, you know, with sort of, how to say, sort of floating off the ground and having a skin that's just, it's not metallic, it's not plastic, it's not flesh, it's not who knows what it is, then, well, what is that? We might be frightened. He is all attractive, and his attractiveness includes having the quality of being as if human. And that's so because the original, he is the origin of all that is, and he's also therefore the origin of our forms. And therefore our forms are also, to some degree, sometimes attractive. We have to be very, we have to qualify. Sometimes our bodies might be attractive, although in so many ways, in so many circumstances, not so attractive, right? Sometimes to some people, yeah, it's all very conditional. But the Lord's form is all attractive at all times. And so he can appear to have veins, he can appear to that blood comes from the forehead in the case of Nityananda Prabhu. All of this can happen. Why? Because all of this makes for lila, for relationship, for rasa. And this makes the Lord all the more attractive. When Nityananda Prabhu is attacked by Madai, and he is his forehead is bleeding from having received a pot on his forehead. So that drama that unfolds attracts us all the more to Nityananda Prabhu. We feel like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he comes and in his rage he calls for Sudarshan Chakra to kill Madai. So we all feel impelled by that. That wouldn't have happened if Nityananda Prabhu had no veins. Right? Sort of the pot would just bounce off of his head and nothing would happen. We would go, yeah, well, he's God, so what can you expect, you know? And Madai would go, hey, how is that possible? Yeah. Okay. Yes, Urukra.
Jamie said that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, that was like one way of bridge fishing, using Varnashram and the culture.
Ah. I guess everyone heard the question, yes. The question was whether we can consider Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's taking sannyas as a kind of bridge preaching. I mentioned a couple of days ago that this subject is on my mind. Yes, I would say so. And some may protest. No, 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 this is not what we mean by bridge. We mean something, I don't know what, people have different ideas what it means. But I would say if we take the idea of a bridge, which is of course a metaphor, what are bridges for? Bridges are for getting from one place to another place where there's some obstacle in between. There's a river or there's a gorge or whatever. So the bridge gets us over from this side to the other side, and it also makes it possible for someone on the other side to get to this side. That's how I usually think of bridge. You have some bridges across, what's the name of the river here in Ljubljana? Ljubljansa. Ljubljansa. Yeah, it's all about love here. Love city, love river, right? Slovenia, right. So anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's taking sannyas was yes, in a sense, we could say it was a means for reaching people that otherwise would not be reached. And so if you like, you could call that preaching, I suppose. Making a connection. And yeah, we can say it was successful. In this particular example, these people are coming, they're offering respects to him, and in this way they're all being blessed. And so the preaching is successful to some extent. One of the questions about bridge preaching is, what constitutes success? Is it successful that someone, receives some aspect of Krishna consciousness but doesn't get what we may think is the whole package? And then that becomes a point of perhaps controversy. And yes, there could be the danger that you're doing something that you're claiming is reaching people with Krishna consciousness, but perhaps they're not getting Krishna consciousness. They're getting, we say in English, short-changed. They're getting something less than the Lord's mercy. So that becomes an issue. Certainly not a problem with Lord Chaitanya. Okay, so thank you all very much and wish you a very nice day today. And remember, what is it we'll remember today? Huh? Yes, let's see Krishna in the heart. As? Gopal. Okay. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki Hare Krishna.